We want to finish, like I said, we want to finish our study today on the glory, the glory of God. And by that, those of you who were here last week, many of you weren't here last week, so we were talking last week about man created for God's glory, for God's glory. For instance, the scripture says there is a glory of the heavens, there's a glory of the moon, another glory of the sun. There's degrees of glory. And it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as being glorious, being the Prince of glory, the Lord of glory. And I've been studying this for a couple of weeks, almost daily. I've just spent many, many hours at it. I know Marie was asking me very thoughtfully. She said, "Well, you didn't spend Thanksgiving alone." And I assured her that I didn't. I did go to a friend's for dinner. But I do remember commenting and sharing with her that that day, waiting for the meal, to, you know, time to go to these folks' house, I spent that time with the Lord in His Word, just a half a day. And I thought, you know, of the Lord Jesus' comment when they approached Him something like this. His disciples were asking Him questions similar to that. And He said, you know, I'm never alone because the Father is with me. The Father is with me. And oftentimes, folks, we don't cultivate the presence of God. We really don't, even as believers. Now, an unbeliever, he has no choice. The presence of God is not available to the unbeliever the way it is to the believer. You say, what do you mean by that, Dean? Well, the believer's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The believer has that priceless privilege, the temple of God. And that is so relative, folks, to what I want to share with you today. And by that, I want us to see that the glory of God indwells you. You see, why do I say that? Because God is inseparable from His glory. And you remember last week, I went into it at length, how we could go back into the dawn of eternities upon eternities, back or forward, if you please. And we would see God. And wherever you would see God, you would never see Him apart from His glory. Now, do you see how we begin to put all of this together and why I'm sharing with you that how important, how vital it is to you in your Christian experience that you know and recognize that you are glorified, that you are a glorious church, a glorified church. I won't near finish this today. I couldn't finish it if we had speak 6 months on it. I never realized till I've been studying this the last couple of weeks how absolutely saturated the Word of God is with His glory. With His glory, over and over again, the Word, if you please, just pounds away at it. You remember when Jeremiah experienced that? He said the time came, you know, when he became so weary of preaching judgment on Israel. And he said, wait a minute, I'm not going to do this anymore. I am not going to preach this anymore. It's breaking my heart. And then he went on. You remember what he said? He said, but Your Word was like a fire in my bones. I couldn't stop. So, folks, if you are looking or concerned with my future, which you are, I couldn't stop, even if I wanted to. There's always a jail door open. There's always a church door open. God will make a man available, and by that I mean He will bring you into some place that wants to hear the Word of God, without exception. But I don't want to get into that today, and I just want to say one thing. I'll be looking forward to seeing you every time we get together. And before we go any further this morning, let's just have a word of prayer, and then immediately over God's Word, and then we'll go into our message for today. Loving Father, we think of the words of Your servant Moses, when he asked You, O Lord, show me Thy glory. And Lord, we would desire to see Your glory this morning In the Word, we know that no man has looked upon your glory and lived, but we have the priceless privilege of containing this treasure in an earthen vessel because you indwell us, Father. The very Spirit of the living God indwells these vessels of clay. So we would pray, Father, that we would see clearly what you have for us today. We ask you this with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the way of refreshing and in the way of our Bible reading for today, I just want to share with you a few verses that we read and went through last week from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. And as you folks know, this was Christ's high intercessory prayer before he ascended back to the Father. This prayer, as no other prayer, lays open the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said so very, very much here. I have spent so much time in this chapter. And if there is such a thing as a favorite chapter in the entire Word of God, I would say this would possibly be mine, because it is so meaningful. And what it tells you, the message that it has for the believer. Now, I would say this to you. If you're not a believer today, none of this pertains to you. None of this pertains to you. You see, God's Word is for God's people. God's Word is for God's people. Now, God's people is to take that Word and to go out and preach it to the lost, wherever they are. And they can be saved by hearing the Word of God, certainly. But these promises are for God's people, that they might know that which is freely given to them of God. That's the whole ministry of the Holy Spirit, to lead us into truth that is in Jesus Christ. That's what the Word says. He never deviates from that, never for a moment. And therefore, I as a minister, you as a worker in the gospel, regardless of your status, it's to be that same thing, that you will direct people into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the ones who are saved, that you will direct them into a truth, into more truth that is in Him. There's to be no exceptions from that. And the Lord was summing it up in that way here in John 17. And He said, I have power over all flesh. And He said, all that you've given to me, I have given them eternal life. And then He defined what eternal life is. He said that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You know, he really centered in here on the essentials because he was summing up his entire ministry at this point. And he was, if you please, dedicating it to the Father, his entire ministry, all of his disciples, all of his work that he had done, and the cross, which was soon going to be facing him face to face. And he summed up his life like this. He said, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And you know, friends, that's the exact thing that we can look forward to. You see, we are sons of God now. We are in Christ. And whatever is extended to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is extended to us as sons of God. Little wonder that the Apostle Paul said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it even entered into the heart of a man what God has prepared for those that love Him. It's beyond what we can see, what we can hear, what we can speak, what we can manifest in our heart. It's beyond that. You see, that's glory. That's glory. In other words, I thought of this as I first began to share this with you folks. I said, well, Lord, how am I going to really preach something in the way of them understanding it? And it's undefinable. You know, we can't get it across with our mouth or with our eyes or our heart. It just, we can't produce it. The Apostle Paul said his ways are past finding out. And Paul, you know, when he would come to these subjects, he would go into what we call a doxology of praise. Like, oh, praise the Lord for His goodness. I thank Thee, O Father. You know, things like this. And you notice that saturates Paul's writings. Well, the Lord is kind of doing that here in His... Well, this is a prayer. This whole chapter is a prayer. You see, He said, these words spoke Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father. So the entire chapter is a prayer. And does the Father always answer Jesus Christ's prayers? Yes. We know that. He always answers His prayers. So according to that, you are glorified. You are glorified because He prays, glorify them, Father, with what? Glorify them with the glory that I had with You before the world began. That's quite a status. That's quite a status. The world is so saturated in unbelief. Even the church is so saturated with unbelief that we're really missing the whole ball game. We don't really see the glory that is to be revealed in us. Like Paul said, relating to all of his sufferings and the suffering of the first century church, he said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That shall be revealed in us. Let me call this to your attention, friends. Glory must have an object, just like love must have an object. It must have an object. I mean, that's just the way God set it up, not my idea. And friends, you are the object of His glory. Does that excite you? You know, it should excite us. I know it does. But listen to the way Jesus prays in the latter part of this prayer, verse 22. And the glory which Thou gavest Me. Now, mind you, glory is a gift. It's a gift. A gift is free. It cost Jesus Christ a great deal that we might receive this gift, but it is free. It's without money and without price. But listen to what He says here, not what I'm saying. This is beyond anything that I could say. I could never invent this. I would never think this in my own mind. I would never approach God with such boldness, but I will in Christ. I believe this. I think this. I live it. I pray it. Why? Because I'm a son of God. I have been glorified with the glory that Jesus Christ was glorified with by the Father. Now, I'm not saying I'm God. I know people that don't understand this, and so many don't understand anything of God's glory. When you talk like that, they say, oh, you're pride, you're proudful, you're a bigot, you think you're one and only. That's not it. Listen, to be humble is to believe God. To be humble is to believe what God says to the place that it becomes a part of your life. See, how do you humble yourself? Under the mighty hand of God. Isn't that a strange expression? That we would humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God? It doesn't say under the meek or panty-waist, hand of God, but under the mighty hand of God. And then He says, and He'll exalt you in due time. Why? Because you begin to believe Him. You begin to live by faith. And faith is believing God to the place where it becomes an expression, if you please, an emotion, a feeling, a love within your inner man. So I'm not boasting when I say these things. I want you to see it. It's your privilege. This is money in the bank for you. It's money in heaven reserved for you. And you find all of the apostles talking like this as you read the Bible. And He said, this, Father, I want them to know that. This is my prayer, Father, that they will know that. I have given them Your word, Father, and they're going to go out now and preach it all over the world. And I want men and women and boys and girls to know that they have My glory. You know, I read a while back where Princess Charles and Prince Diane, they were married, and it went through some of the price tags for their wedding dresses and etc. I'm sure you've read that too, but just in the thousands and thousands of dollars. But the writer kept commenting on the glory of this and how it was glorifying England and on and on. And, well, you know the procedure of these things. I'm not picking on these folks. I know nothing about them. But I'm just saying, it's nothing compared with the glory that shall be revealed in you. Think of anything you can. any event that's ever happened on this earth, so to speak, in mankind. And Paul said, folks, don't even try to compare it. Anything that you've suffered, he said, don't even try to compare it with the glory that shall be revealed in you. Shall be. Not maybe, not perhaps, but it shall be. And you know, folks, I know all of you. And just my eyes tell me, we're not spring chickens, you know by that. But let me tell you, folks, we are not very far away from God's glory. This is business with God, you know. This is business. And the grain of our hair means that we're nearer our glory. We're near our glorious home. We're near entering into the glory that was prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Even before that, let me read that to you. I know of no way I'd rather part from this group than sharing this message with you. None. None. And the glory which thou gavest me. Think of that. That is a possession. The Father has given that to the Son. And the Son says, I give it to them, Father. Now, did the Father say, no, you can't do that? No way. Absolutely. No. In all probability, the Father just said, why, of course. That's my thought. That's what we planned out before you even went to the cross. You know the history. You know the story of Christianity. Oh, beloved, if we could see what Paul meant when he said the unsearchable riches of Christ, I think he was centering in on what we call the glory of God in the believer. Oh, it is beyond expectation. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given to them. Why? Listen, that they may be one. There's a purpose to glory. Think of that. Through all of eternity, whatever this means, I don't know the complete depth of this. I wish I did. But I can tell you without reservation, you will be one with God the Father and God the Son through all of eternity. That is eternal life. That is eternal life. You will be one in an intimacy beyond anything that human experience or human relationship can produce. Maybe some of you have had lovely relationships through life. And that's good. That's wonderful. But friends, this is going to exceed it. Why? Because this is glorious. This is glory. The glory of God. Not the glory of England or the glory of the United States, but the glory of the living God. Oh, do you see this, beloved? Do you see this? I tell you, folks, as I've studied this the last 2 weeks, I couldn't get away from it into anything else, but I would read it, and spiritually speaking, like I shared with you last week, my head, my heart would, oh, just spin. I would just stop and say, oh God, can it be as great as you're saying? And of course I would say yes, but it would just overwhelm me. You know, it's kind of like, going back to your love relationships between maybe a girl and a boy, and maybe this young man says something to himself like this, oh, she could never love me. She's just so wonderful and I love her so much, and et cetera, and et cetera. And then all at once, you know, he says, you know, I really love you. I really want to marry you. And she responds, oh, I wish you would have asked me a long time ago. I've loved you too, on and on. And she just pours out. That's kind of the way this is. It's beyond all expectation that God should love me so. Not only does He love you, folks, but He loves you so. There's no reservations to His love. God loved you so much that He gave the Prince of Life, the Prince of Glory, the Prince of Heaven, His life's blood, shame, humiliation, all of this, so that you might, what? Enter into His glory. And all that means, I wish I could tell you more about it. Only God Himself can tell you that. We see the consummation of it back here in Revelation. I want to read this to you. It just gives it to us here in a very vital way. Listen to this. Listen. Oh, listen. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is the close of Revelation chapter 21, very near the end of the Bible. And For the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared, glorified, beloved, glorified. Just like when you dressed in that pretty white dress many years ago. That was, that was symbolic of entering into the glory of your marriage. Entering into the glory of your marriage, giving yourself completely to that man or to the woman, both ways, of course, but prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle, the dwelling place, the permanent dwelling place of God from that time on, if you please. Behold, the dwelling of the tabernacle of God is with men. And he shall dwell with them. You see, that's glory. You enter into the glory of God. Into the very glory of God. You see, friends, when you were created in his image, in his likeness, you received of his glory. And that's what Christ is getting at here. He's saying, I have come to restore that. Give it back, Father. They've lost it. And I want you to give it back. I pray that. I pray that. I ask you. Humbly, I ask you that. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. You see, he just drives the point. Bang, bang. You know, different areas. He just drives it home. God, God, God. Glory, glory, glory. You see, God can't be separated from his glory. And we would have to be glorified, or we could not enter into his glory. There's no place for anything less than glory in God's presence. Oh, to think of this, just to think of it, just for a moment's thought. And God shall what? You see, today, the difficulty in this world is men have lost the glory of God. They've lost sight of it. They've lost vision of it. That's the difficulty of the world today. All of the perversion of mankind, everything, is based upon man turning from God's glory. Man turning from God's glory. God shall wipe all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Why? For the former things are passed away. Glory! Do you see that? Do you see that? I just don't want to get emotional here for the sake of getting emotional. But I want you to see that, beloved. I want you to see it because the Bible teaches it. This is you. The Bible is for you. These promises are for you. You have entered into them. He paid the price for you to enter into them. And he wants you to enter into the good of it. And he that sat upon the throne. Think of that. This is a message from the throne. From the glorious throne of God. Where he sits in all of his glory, thousands and thousands of creatures surrounding that throne on every side, saying nothing but holy, holy, holy. Why? Because he's glorious. He's a glorious God, the Prince of Glory, the Lamb of God. You remember what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus coming and he saw him for who he was? Behold, the Lamb of God. Oh, the way he said it, friends. It just overwhelms you when you get into the meaning of it. He said, I'm not worthy to even dust his sandals off, to even latch his sandals. But here he is. And he said, what did he say about him? He said, behold the Lamb of God who, what, taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, this is so great. This is so wonderful. You know, folks, I want you to see a couple of thoughts before I close. And I'm not even getting started on what I wanted to, all I wanted to share with you, but nevertheless, I want you to see two things. I want you to see that God created you for his glory. Like when you married a certain individual, you married them, period. You know, that's the idea. I keep using marriage. Why? Because you're the bride of Christ. It's related to marriage. There's no better example that you can use. I don't want to bring sad memories to any of you, so I've never did it in that way. But it's the way the Bible teaches it. And to be fair to you, that's what I want to do. Let's open your Bibles for a moment to Isaiah 43:7. Isaiah 43, 7. And I want you to see this from the Word. Pages are so thin. Now, this is the 7th verse. Everyone who is called by my name. You're a Christian, you see, today. God was looking through the whole spectrum of time when he wrote this. You're a Christian. That's what it really is. Christian. Christ in you. What does the Bible say about Christ in you? Christ in you is the hope of glory. Meaning the only hope of glory. There's no salvation anywhere else. No exceptions to that. Everyone who is called by my name. Now listen to this, folks. For I have created him for my glory. You are vessels of glory. You are vessels of glory. Paul said it. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, so the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, we sell ourselves so far short. We just sell ourselves so far short because we will not apply ourselves to the study of God's Word. We never know our true self as Christians. We do not. If you're not applying yourself to a diligent study of God's Word, you don't even know yourself as a Christian. For the most part, you think of yourself just like the lost world thinks of themselves. And God is not pleased with that, beloved. I tell you, He wants you to study. Why? So that you might know the things that God has freely given you. That's the whole ministry of the Holy Spirit. We hear so much talk about the Spirit-filled life today, and yet we don't see these very people that are doing it encouraging God's people to get into His Word. We don't see that, but rather get into some experience. That's not the thrust of it, folks. It isn't, really. I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. When I formed you out of the dust of the earth, it was for my glory. What happened? All right, man fell, didn't he? We know that story very well. He was driven from the garden. But to sum up my whole thought today, I want to show you the other side of this coin. I want to try to show you from Romans 1, where everything that has gone amiss in the world is because man turns from that glory. He turns from that glory. Now, look at Romans 1 for a moment. I'm going to read verse 21. Begin at 21. That's Romans 1, 21. Now listen. Listen carefully, folks. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not. In other words, they lose sight of this glory. You can do it as a believer. You can do it very easily. How do you do it? Just drift. Just drift. Just become indifferent. Just get tied up in doing your own thing. You can do it, folks. Believe me, I did it. I know what I'm talking about. Now listen to this. This, perhaps, is one of the most sternest warning to believers, unbelievers alike, believers especially. I don't believe unbelievers even have an opportunity to turn from the glory of God. They just are natural. They never can get to the glory of God. Primarily, I think this is to believing people. And yet, it's led into unbelief. They're led into unbelief. But listen, because when they knew God, that's believing, you see, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. And you see the progress of falling man here. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Turn on the television today, folks, and read this scripture. Just turn it on. I don't have to preach it to you. The world preaches it to you every day. But we won't see it as God's people. Many times. They became vain in their imaginations. That means reasonings. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Listen to me, beloved. Listen. The night is never as dark as when God calls you a fool. As when God calls a nation a fool. The night is never as dark as when God says, you fool. You remember the parable of the rich young fool. He said, "Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm prospering so that I've got to tear down barns and build bigger barns so I can put all my treasures in it. I'm going to live for 150 years. God said, "You fool, this night you're coming home. And who's going to have all of these things that you've labored for?" He said, "You're poor in my sight. You're not rich in my sight. You're dirt poor." And he said, "Who's going to have all of these things?" Oh, like I said, it just makes my head swim, spiritually speaking. But the world today is professing themselves to become so wise. I just wish I had more time. I had so many illustrations to share with you. I've been listening and following this so closely the last couple of weeks. Professing themselves to become wise, they become fools. Now listen to this. Listen to this, folks. This is the real thrust of my message today. Verse 23. "And changed the glory of God." You see, you were created in His image and likeness. His glory. His image, His likeness, His glory. Moms and dads, what did you think when you look at a son or a daughter that you've raised? You know, "That's my image. That's my likeness. There's nothing I delight any more than to see my glory, myself, my person manifested in them." And to see them go astray, so to speak, is such a heartbreaking thing. Such a heartbreaking thing. Why? Because they've exchanged the glory, so to speak. Well, think of the glory of God. All that that means. "And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image," into a image, other than the image that He was created in, which was the glory of God, "made like corruptible man," corruptible man, "and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things." You go into India and these countries today, you see people worshiping creeping things. The stages of unbelief. Down, 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 down. And then even beyond that, he goes into homosexuality. Even below worshiping the creeping things. Now listen to them. This is a word of God. Now I know this isn't popular in the society today. We may have a picket line around the church next week. But this is still what the word of God says. And God will judge according to His word. Not according to the way I feel or the way you feel or the way the homosexual community feels, but the way God says. "Wherefore God gave them up." Why? Because they gave the glory of God up. You see that? The glory of God and all that means. See, it's something very much for this life. If you don't understand the glory of God and pursue that, you know, you miss the heart of God. You see, the glory of God is His heart. It's the life flow, if you please, of God. The glory, the glory, the glory of God. That's worship. That's praise. That's prayer. Everything. It's what the Father gave to the Son. It's what the Son gave to us. It's a glory that is not to be compared with anything in this life. Whether it be a bed of suffering, whether it be kingship, whatever it be, it's not even to be compared. It's so priceless in God's sight. That's what it says. And He gives them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, why did all of that happen? They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even the women did exchange the natural use for that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was fitting. Now listen. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Do you see something of what we're talking about when we speak of this glory? It is something vital. It is something that is to be maintained. It's something that God wants to progressively reveal in you. Progressively reveal in you. In closing, I just want to go through John 17, a few of the promises here, as I've jotted them down, we won't look them up individually, our time is gone and we're over, but I want you to see this as you being an object of God's glory, as well as an object of His love. His love and His glory, I think that's why we don't understand the love of God, we never really understand the glory of God. We never really dig these things out. But we are the objects of God's glory, even as Christ is the object of the Father's glory. You see, the glory you gave me, Father, I'm giving them. I was the object of your glory. Now, Marie, Esther, all of us, all who are believers, you are the object of that glory. Does that thrill you? Praise the Lord. What a thing. You know, I'm just overwhelmed like this. And you know, in verse 1, the Lord Jesus prayed to the Father. He said, Father, glorify thy Son that he may glorify you. You know, folks, unless we enter into the reality of being glorified as sons of God, we never really glorify the Father. We never really get into it. Now, the Lord Jesus said, I have glorified you on earth. And you remember how he said he did that? He said, I manifested your name. I witnessed for you. I shared you. I lived your life. And that's what he's getting at. And then he challenges us to do the same thing. To do the same thing. And in verse 5, he says, glorify me, how? With yourself. With yourself. I can't even begin to explain. What does it mean to be glorified with what Jesus calls the very person of God, if I can put it in that terminology? I know one thing. I know one thing, beloved. There's nothing greater than God Himself. When God starts talking about Himself, whether it be judgment or glorification, there's none greater. You remember what the Scripture says? God swore by Himself, for He cannot swear by a greater. God promises this glory through Himself because He could not promise it or glorify with a greater glory. It's just wonderful. Now, verse 6, it tells that Christ and we should glorify God by manifesting His name. And the Lord, you know, this is something, the Lord uses a strange language here, but He says, I am glorified in them. I receive a glory from my people, just like your children, you know. You receive a glory from them, of course, on a different scale, but the idea is there, the parenthood, the family. See, we're in the family of God, and God wants us to understand from the mother-child relationship and so on. Now, as you glorified, you know, oh, to see a son or a daughter grow up and to be your heart's desire. Oh, I just love them so. Oh, they're such a thrill. They're such an encouragement to me. I just love to touch them. I love to sit down and, you know, that's the kind of thing that God wants. That's fellowship. The church is so sadly lacking in it today. And then Jesus reminded us in verse 21, He said, that they may be one in you, Father. See, you're glorified with His very self, with thyself. As I was glorified, glorify them. And then in verse 22, He said that they be one in you. One in you, as I am in you, Father, and you in me. And that's the sum of it. Our time has slipped away, of course, and already over time, but I just wanted to finish this one last message. And this is glory. This is hallelujah. That word hallelujah, you know, grew out of glory. Glory, hallelujah. It's a word that you can't express. It's an international and universal word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In other words, that's glory. It's all glory. It's all that God could pour into Christ and give to us. That's glory. I don't know, folks. Maybe some of you say, well, Dean, you kind of got me going round in circles. I tell you, it's got me going around in circles, too. And that's good circles. There's so much in this world that's not even fit to listen to. It does nothing but pull you down, lead you into depression, on and on. Oh, to dwell on the glory of God and to dwell on the fact that that's in you and He'll never lose it. It's eternal God has promised I'll never take it away. I'll never take it away. It's as sure as my relationship with my Son, so is my relationship with you. Oh, it's so good. It is so good. No wonder Paul, as I said, called it so great a salvation, the unsearchable riches of Christ. His ways are past finding out. They're past finding out. All we can do is touch on them today. But I tell you, you will know. God says it's going to be revealed in you, in you, in you. That's His promise. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of the living God. Thank You for glory. Thank You for peace. Thank You for Your love. Lord, in my estimation, we never clearly see love and peace and fellowship, service, all of this. We never really see it unless we see Your glory. No, God, I desire that with all of my heart and soul. I desire to glimpse this glory revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, my precious Lord. And it's in His wonderful name that we offer up this prayer with thanksgiving. Amen.